The Mask. Camilla. You, sir, should unmask. Stranger. Indeed. Casilda. Indeed, it's time. We have all laid aside disguise but you. Stranger. I wear no mask. Camilla. Terrified, aside to Casilda. No mask? No mask. The King in Yellow. Act 1. Scene 2D. Although I knew nothing of chemistry, I listened fascinated. He picked up an Easter lily, which Genevieve had brought that morning from Notre Dame, and dropped it into the basin. Instantly, the liquid lost its crystalline clearness. For a second, the lily was enveloped in a milk-white foam, which disappeared, leaving the fluid opalescent. Changing tints of orange and crimson played over the surface, and then what seemed to be a ray of pure sunlight struck through from the bottom where the lily was resting. At the same instant, he plunged his hand into the basin and drew out the flower. "There is no danger," he explained. "If you choose the right moment, that golden ray is the signal." He held the lily toward me and I took it in my hand. It had turned to stone, to the purest marble. "You see," he said. "It is without a flaw. What sculptor could reproduce it?" The marble was white as snow, but in its depths the veins of the lily were tinged with the palest azure, and a faint flush lingered deep in its heart. "Don't ask me the reason of that," he smiled, noticing my wonder. "I have no idea why the veins and heart are tinted, but they always are. Yesterday I tried one of Genevieve's gold fish. There it is." The fish looked as if sculptured in marble. But if you held it to the light, the stone was beautifully veined with a faint blue, and from somewhere within came a rosy light like the tint from slumbers in an opal. I looked into the basin. Once more, it seemed filled with clearest crystal. "If I should touch it now?" I demanded. "I don't know," he replied, "but you had better not try." "There is one thing I'm curious about," I said, "and that is where the ray of sunlight came from." "It looked like a sunbeam, true enough," he said. "I don't know. It always comes when I immerse any living thing. Perhaps," he continued smiling, "perhaps it is the vital spark of the creature escaping to the source from whence it came." I saw he was mocking and threatened him with a mahl stick, but he only laughed and changed the subject. "Stay to lunch. Genevieve will be here directly." "I saw her going to early mass," I said, "and she looked as fresh and sweet as that lily before you destroyed it." "Do you think I destroyed it?" said Boris gravely. "Destroyed? Preserved? How can we tell?" We sat in the corner of a studio near his unfinished group of The Fates. He leaned back on the sofa, twirling a sculptor's chisel and squinting at his work. "By the way," he said, "I have finished pointing up that old academic Ariadne, and I suppose it will have to go to the salon. It's all I have ready this year, but after the success the Madonna brought me, I feel ashamed to send a thing like that." The Madonna, an exquisite marble for which Genevieve had sat, had been the sensation of last year's salon. I looked at the Ariadne. It was a magnificent piece of technical work, but I agreed with Boris that the world would expect something better of him than that. Still, it was impossible now to think of finishing in time for the salon. That splendid, terrible group half shrouded in the marble behind me. The Fates would have to wait. We were proud of Boris Ivan. We claimed him, and he claimed us on the strength of his having been born in America. Although his father was French, and his mother was a Russian, everyone in the Beaux Arts called him Boris. And yet, there were only two of us whom he addressed in the same familiar way, Jack Scott and myself. Perhaps my being in love with Genevieve had something to do with his affection for me, not that it had ever been acknowledged between us. But after all was settled, and she had told me with tears in her eyes that it was Boris whom she loved, I went over to his house and congratulated him. The perfect cordiality of that interview did not deceive either of us, I always believed. Although to one at least, it was a great comfort. I do not think he and Genevieve ever spoke of the matter together, but Boris knew. Genevieve was lovely. The Madonna-like purity of her face might have been inspired by the Sanctus in Gounod's Mass. But I was always glad when she changed that mood for what we called her A